half a day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Mark Kittrell. It was presented in April of 2016. The title of the message, Pruning the Vine.
Well, let's open our Bibles this evening to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, or literally, I've placed you, chosen you for the kingdom, placed you into the kingdom. For what purpose? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. A number of years ago, I was visiting a friend, and I did not know it, but my friend had taken up growing grapes, establishing sort of a little vineyard. And it just so happened when I was visiting him that the grapes had been picked, and he was actually pruning his vines for the next year. And so I said, man, I don't know anything about growing grapes or pruning vines, and could you teach me a little something? And he said, yeah, sure. So we went out to his vines, and by that time they had grown really long and produced clusters of grapes, and he took his little clippers there, and he went all the way back, I mean to just the main vine, he went all the way back, and he clipped it off right there, and I was like, what are you doing? You just clipped off the whole branch, it's not going to be, and he said, wow, he said, you really don't know anything about grape growing, do you? He said, Mark, this is how you do it. When you're growing grapes, the farther you prune it back, the next year, two things. One, the grapes are more productive. Two, the grapes are actually sweeter. He said, if you don't cut that all the way back, you are actually hurting your ability to grow grapes. It's going to produce less, and they're not going to taste as good. And that day, he taught me some things about growing grapes, and I began putting that knowledge into my study of John 15, where Christ uses this terminology to talk about the process of growing a believer. How do you grow? Oh, well, I go to church and I understand those things, but how do you really grow as a believer? What is the process that you have to grow through to be a fruit-bearing believer? And what does it mean to bear fruit anyway? Some people take that verse, in verse 16, and they apply it to, well, that means that we should go out and we should witness to people, and the people that we witness to are fruit, and it, well, no, not exactly. I'm sure there's an application there, but if you take it in context here, he's really talking about the fruit that is produced in your life as a believer that is permanent. And through that fruit bearing, as others see it, that's your gospel witness. That's your testimony. You know what the greatest testimony is in all the world for the gospel? It's not that you go out and preach it with your mouth. It's actually that you preach it by your life. That you're actually a growing believer. So tonight we're going to talk about the process of becoming a fruit-bearing believer. How does that work? Well, he starts off the passage by telling us about the process. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 1 establishes the fact that the whole process that is going on here in your life is God's work. Christ is the vine, the Father is the vine dresser, and those two make the whole process complete. You have to have them, and they must be at work, otherwise there's no process to undergo. Nothing will happen in your life. So he establishes that right off the bat, that the work that is going on in your life as a believer is God's work. And you have to accept that. You say, well, I've got this great trial going on in my life. I'm telling you, it's God's work. Well, I just got promoted and a new important blessing has come into my life. It's God's work. It doesn't matter what is happening in your life as a believer. If you are connected to the vine and the Father is the farmer taking care of the vine and you are connected to Christ, every single event that is happening in your life is God's work from beginning to end. And if you understand that, then you can understand the process now that is going to unfold, that he's going to take us through. And it's a process that includes two things, pruning and purging, two different things, but both very important. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is the sad part, the idea of being taken away here. Most likely, probably, is the believer who has come to a point in their life where because of sin or stubbornness, they no longer allow God to be the one shaping their life. Therefore, the pruning process cannot take place anymore, and God takes them away. That is the only way to make them more like Jesus Christ, to actually remove them. Now you say, doesn't that refer to an unbeliever? Probably not. Because the issue here is, in the New Testament, the most common reference to having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is this term, to be in Christ. The primary term in the New Testament for a personal, vital relationship with Jesus Christ is to be in Christ. And he says here, every branch that is in me. In contrast to, look down at verse 6, if a man does not abide in me. That's the unbeliever. He is cast forth as a branch withered. And what do men do with those who are not abiding in Christ, don't have a personal relationship with them? Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. You never find that language in the New Testament in reference to someone who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So when he says, if a man abides in me, but he is no longer bearing fruit, God takes that branch and he takes it away. You say, does that happen? Sure it does. I remember years ago, my dad telling the story, there was a man in his church, and the man got very bitter about an event that happened in his life. He got very bitter toward God. He finally stopped going to church. He finally stopped reading the Bible. He wasn't active in growing anymore. My father would speak to him, try to help him, try to encourage him, but he just came to that point in his life where he was so stubborn in his sin, in his bitterness, that God just couldn't do anything with him anymore. And at 46 years of age, he was working for Indianapolis Power and Light. He was up in his bucket working on a light pole, and he had a heart attack, and he died in his bucket. And my dad said, Mark, that's a situation where I truly believe you had a man that was genuinely converted, but he would no longer allow God to purge him and prune him to a point where he was useful anymore to the Lord. Listen, if you come to the point in your life where there's nothing else God can do with you, he can't work with you anymore, There's only one thing left for you. Take you away. So there is a discipline that is reserved for believers who come to a point in their life where they are no longer a fruit-bearing believer. Word of caution. You don't want to get there. You need to let God work with you. Because when you're through with God, He's through with you. And He will take you away. He will make you like Christ. He will accomplish that goal. On the other hand, for those who are producing fruit, guess what? Even those, He purges them. Even the people who are fruit-producing believers, God still, He keeps cutting them back for a greater yield. In fact, what's interesting here, look at the word purge in verse 2 and the word clean in verse 3. Those are the same exact Greek word. You are purged through the word which I have spoken unto you. The cleansing takes place through the word of God. In other words, what he's saying is, those who have the Christ life in them, they are abiding in Christ, they will always be going through the pruning or the purging process in their life. And that takes place through the word of God. They read the Bible, they get convicted, and it's like, I haven't surrendered my life in that area. God convicted me about that sin. And here's what God does. Clip. And He clips you back. If that process is going on in your life, that's actually a good thing. If you're sitting in a service and you feel a little twinge of conviction and like something really pricked you and, hey, can I tell you something? Don't be afraid of that. That's a good process. Because when God is through with you, if you're through with Him, you won't be around anymore. So as long as you are wanting to be, God, change my life, make me more like Christ, I need your word, I please help me. You know what God does? Through the word, He keeps trimming you back. And quite honestly, folks, sometimes that gets uncomfortable. So when God takes away something that we like, we feel pain. But His removal from our lives of what will hinder our fruitfulness is absolutely essential. And it is absolutely essential that you respond to divine discipline with thankfulness. So the next time there's that burning conviction in your heart, thank you, Lord. I really needed that message today. I just got too comfortable. It's painful, but it's the process. And God always does it through His word. Another man said, God is not content in your life with minimal effectiveness. He wants maximum yield. And to do that, got to clip you all the way back. And that's the process. Pruning and purging. That process, the one vital component in all of it is this. It's all right to clip back. In fact, you can clip back all the way to the vine. But you can't clip the vine. So he says, 9 times in verses 4 through 10, abide in me. As long as the juice is flowing through the vine, there's the opportunity to sprout again. In fact, it's amazing that in a very short amount of time, the grape branch will grow very long and have this beautiful, healthy cluster at the end. And it's like, wow, how does that grow so fast when you clip it back so far? But that's the point. You're increasing the productivity because you've gone through a very aggressive pruning process. And for a lot of us, that's exactly how it feels. Sometimes we think God's being too aggressive. No, He's not. He's actually interested in your best. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for 50 years. There's more. So that process keeps going on, and in the process, you always stay connected to the vine. This is absolutely essential, verses 4 through 6. Abide in me, and I in you. Why? Well, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Here we go. Without me, you can do nothing. It is absolutely essential to stay connected vitally to the vine, because the inflow from the vine produces the outflow in the branch in my life. When he says he is not able to bear fruit himself, those kind of stand in emphatic contrast. In other words, if you think by yourself that you can become this Christian that is really something for God, you can't. There can't be any self-dependency at all in this process. It has to be all of God, or nothing's going to happen. And he's reminding his disciples here, remember the context, this is like the last main discourse they're getting before Jesus goes to the cross. And he's like, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Without me, you can't do anything. So it is essential that you stay connected, and it is essential that you stay connected in this way. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The first evidence of someone who is truly abiding in the vine is this. He wants it God's way. That's the guiding principle in his life. He wants it God's way. And if you're living, if there's any area in your life in which you really want it your way, you need to be clipped back. Well, this is the person I want to marry. But I've got this planned out in my life, and this is my future. And because the first evidence of abiding, being vitally connected to the vine, is that you give up the rights to your own life, and the only thing flowing through you is what has already been in the vine. And what was the way of Jesus? Oh my goodness, it was the way of sacrifice. It was doing the will of the Father. He came to Gethsemane, and it wasn't, okay, get me out of this. It was, Lord, I don't want to go through this, but not my will, but thine be done. All right, if that's flowing through the vine, then that's exactly what will be flowing through you. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Lord, who do you want me to marry? Lord, it's not my money anymore, it's yours. What do you want me to do with it? I want your way. And that evidence just shines self-sacrifice in the person that really, truly is connected to the vine. You can see that in their life. It's like fundamental. They just want it God's way. So the process is pruning. The essential element in the process is you have to stay connected to the vine, and when you do, the essential and fundamental truth of your life will be they always want it God's way, never their own. And when you have a person living that kind of way, he is going to end the passage, actually going from here down all the way to the end of the chapter, by giving us five fundamental aspects of fruit. In other words, if you're a fruit-bearing believer that is living by this theme in your life, I just want God's will. His commandments, his words are in me. I want it his way. Whatever's flowing through the vine, I want that exact thing flowing through me. And if it's not, clip me back. Start all over. And if I ever get to the point where it's my way, clip me back. I only want what's flowing through the vine flowing through me. And when the Christ life is flowing through you, here are five evidences. Verses 12 and 13. You will have a selfless devotion to Christ and Christ followers. Verses 12 and 13 talk about a sacrificial love that spends itself exhaustively for Jesus Christ and those who follow him. Self-centered interests and agendas are gone, and they are replaced by a supreme devotion to Jesus Christ and to his people. And then other people who are following him like that, you're in their company. You worship with them. You pray with them. You want to be around them. These are your people. When someone's not connected to the vine or they need to be clipped back, you know, an unbeliever who doesn't have that selflessness, they're not connected to that kind of, they don't want to be around God's people. They're living for themselves. They don't want to live a life that's selfless. They're living lives that are selfish. So when he says, I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. It should be permanent in your life. One aspect of being connected to the vine, fruit bearing, is you're just a selfless person. And if that's not going on in your life, but you say you're a believer, I will tell you what God's going to do. He is going to prune you till you come to the place where you live absolutely selflessly devoted to Jesus Christ and his followers. Second aspect of fruit, verses 14 and 15. Absolute obedience to the revealed will of God. A life of active obedience that submits to truth that is revealed in God's word. Lip service is replaced with life service. And he says here, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. 1 John 2:3, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So the second aspect of fruit bearing in the life of someone connected to the vine is an absolute allegiance to the word of God. God says it, he speaks it, done. And if you're not doing that, he's going to clip you back because that's how Jesus lived. That's what flows through the vine. Jesus did the will of the Father even when the will of the Father said, go to the cross. You know what redefines obedience? Philippians 2:8. And he became obedient unto death. Now there are many ways to die, right? But the most cruel way that was ever invented in humankind to die was Roman crucifixion. And the Bible says he became obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. But that's God's word. He already predicted it in Isaiah 53, I'll do it. And when you see someone that has an absolute, unflinching obedience to the word of God, that's fruit connected to the vine. And if they're disobedient in their life in any area, I know what's going to happen. God is going to produce that fruit because he chose you and he ordained you. He literally placed you in the kingdom to be this kind of person that you would have absolute obedience to the word of God, and he will prune you until you do. Third fruit, verse 16, abiding fruit, fruit that remains, permanent change. That's what God's after. And until that change is permanent, he will keep pruning. Folks, don't ever get tired of the process that when you fall back into sin or you've made progress in your life and you feel like you've fallen back, don't ever get tired of the process of God pruning you and bringing back to where you used to be or he wants you to be. That's called grace. It's called love. It's called, I'm not satisfied with minimal effectiveness. There's more that I can get out of your life, a greater spiritual yield, and here's what I want. I don't want you going back and forth between being on fire for God and then you're not. On fire for God and then you're not. I want permanent change, and God will prune you until he gets permanent change. Be thankful for that. Number four, verses 17 to 25, hated by the world. The world will not have an affinity toward you, will treat you like they treated Christ. And interestingly, one of the aspects of being connected to the vine is that you get persecuted. The world hates you. They don't like your stand. They don't like your life. They just don't like believers. Guess what? Just accept this. In fact, on the other hand, if you say you're a Christian, but it's real easy for you to be in the world and then you kind of fit in and I'll tell you what God's going to do. If you're a genuine believer, he's going to prune you back. Because one of the true characteristics of someone connected to the vine is the world will hate you. But that shows for the fact you have the Christ life running in you. What'd they do with Jesus? They hated him. Guess what? They will hate you. And then lastly, verses 26 and 27, the testimony of Christ. An internal witness, verse 26, from the Comforter, the Spirit. And verse 27, an external witness. Now you bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. And you know someone is connected to the vine whenever you have this. They are compelled from the inside. They might be shy. They might not have the greatest Bible knowledge in the world, but they are compelled by the Comforter who testifies to them on the inside, they're genuine believers, to talk about Jesus on the outside. And they just can't help it. And if you're not bearing witness here, I know what God's going to do. He's going to prune you. He's going to put you in positions where you just cannot help but share the truth because you're a genuine believer. And so when we talk about being a fruit-bearing believer, we're talking about being willing to go through the pruning, purging process. God convicts you. You get purged through the Word. And the essential thing when you get purged is that that's fine if you get clipped all the way back as long as you're connected to the vine, abiding in me, and my words abide in you. And when that Christ life flowing through the vine begins flowing through you, that's the fruit that you will bear. Selfless devotion to Christ and Christ's followers, absolute obedience to the revealed will of God, abiding fruit, permanent change in your life, hated, persecuted by the world, and testifying of Jesus Christ because of the testimony of Christ within you. So when he says, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, when you demonstrate those five aspects of fruit in your life, it is the most compelling thing in all the world for unbelievers to see and to themselves follow Christ.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Pruning the Vine from Evangelist Mark Kittrell. It was originally presented in April of 2016 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.org, hbcguam.org. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.